After a time, we found it was absolutely needful for me to go out begging, for we had £700 to pay 5%, for which we found to lie upon us very heavily. And as I had promised for several years to have a begging case amongst the Gower Street people, London, I found that the next time I went to supply, I must embrace the opportunity. But when I arrived there, I found that the managers of Gower Street objected to it at that time, and for they were thinking to have a collection for their own chapel, and they told me I must put it off till a future period. Oh, how my feelings sank to hear that they could not sanction my begging case at that time, knowing that one of our deacons wanted about £300 of his money, and if I recollect right, we had at that time £400 of his on interest. I went from the vestry much cast down, not knowing what to do, but I believe my very soul was led to the Lord for direction, and there I was helped to pour out my very soul, and that he would show me what to do, for our church fully expected that I should beg, and hoped the Lord would go before me. The managers of Gower Street Chapel fully expected that I would not at that time attempt it. Here I cried out before the Lord, O Lord, what shall I do? I am in thy hands. Do be pleased to direct me. Speak, Lord, for thy worm heareth. Whilst my poor soul was wrestling and pleading for his name's sake that he would answer my poor petition and show me what to do, oh, how blessedly did these words drop into my poor soul like rain, and the speech thereof like dew, and settled the matter in my very soul in a few minutes, that tomorrow morning to begging I would go. The words were these, Revelation 3, verse 8, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, the power that attended these words! What humility my soul felt! How my soul wondered at his loving kindness and tender mercies in regarding the prayer of such a poor destitute worm. I saw that the cattle upon 1,000 hills were his, and all the gold and silver were at his disposal. Oh, what a sweet night I had, in viewing the wonderful mercy, power, and goodness of my kind God and Father. My very soul exclaimed again and again, Is anything too hard for the Lord? I cried out again, Hast thou in very deed set before me an open door, which no man can shut? Oh, how sweetly did the word sound again, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, how my soul longed for the morning to come, that I might see and know whether the Lord had indeed opened the door. In the morning, as soon as I had breakfasted, I went to one of the congregation of Gower Street Chapel, who was a very particular friend of mine, and told him that I was come to him with my begging case, and hoped he would begin it, and set down a pretty good figure at the top of the paper. Well, says he, What do you call a good figure? For I have fixed in my mind what I will do, and I shall do no more. Well, says I should like you to put down a figure of 5. That is just, replied he, what I had fixed to do. And so he took my book and put down £5 for his father-in-law, and £5 for himself, and gave me the book back, and wished me success in the name of the Lord. Off I set to another friend, and told him that I had called to see him with my begging case for our chapel at Trowbridge. Well, says he, I am glad to see you, and from my heart I can give you my mite. So he put his hand in his pocket and gave me £5. So off I went to another, and told him the same tale and showed him my begging book. "Well," says he, "I suppose I must do as the others have done." So he gave me £5. Away I went to another and showed him my book. But he thought that he could not do so much. But his wife interfered and said surely he would not be behind the others. So he gave me £5. After a little conversation, he told me there was a particular friend of mine across the street that had always heard me with a great deal of pleasure when I came to London, and he had no doubt that he would be very liberal to the case. So I went, and he happened to be within, and received me with very great pleasure, and after some conversation I told him what I had called for, and without a single word he went and fetched me £5. And some sweet godly conversation we had that did my soul good, for we were one heart and one soul in the things of God and truth. He then told me that he wished me to call upon an old gentleman who had heard me with much comfort and profit for many years in my visit to London, and he had no doubt that he would contribute to my case. I think his name was Mr. May. So off I went and found the place and knocked at the door, which the old gentleman opened himself, and before I had time to speak he put out his hand and blessed me in the name of the Lord, and said he was heartily glad that I had called to see him, and began to tell me the many precious seasons he had felt under my ministry and my visits to London for many years. "I have," exclaimed the old man with tears running down his cheeks, "prove the truth of God drop from your mouth like rain, and his speech to distill as the dew. I have had my very soul watered many, very many times under your ministry." I then told him the reason of my calling to see him at the present time, that we were considerably in debt with our chapel at Trowbridge, and I was under the necessity of turning beggar to try the lovers of truth, if they felt a heart to help us in our trying situation, that I had made a beginning today, and had called upon a few friends. I then offered him my begging book, that if he chose he could see the few names and that I had called upon. But the dear old man refused to look at what his neighbors had done, and said, "I am heartily glad that you have called to see me, and that I have an opportunity to put my might along with them for the cause of God and truth. But I am never guided in what I shall give by other people. What God puts into my heart to give, I give. And if my neighbors give £5, and I feel to give 5 shillings, that I do. For I have to die for myself, and hope the Lord will ever help me to do that which meets his approbation." So off the old gentleman went and fetched his mite, which I expected would be 5 shillings. But when he came back, he put me down £5, saying, "That is to go towards the debt on your chapel." And then he put me down another £5 note, and this, he said, is for the use of your family. I could not hold from bursting into a flood of tears. "Oh," cried I, "what do you mean to break my heart with kindness?" I was so overpowered that I could hardly utter a word, and the old gentleman is quite overcome to bless the Lord. And he exclaimed, "He has given me plenty, and I have received from your mouth spiritual things, and it is my delight and pleasure to communicate carnal things. Yea, and I can bless and thank my God that he has sent you and honored me with the opportunity of communicating my might." We parted with many tears and blessings on both sides. I then finished up the first day, and oh, how I traveled through the streets to my lodgings as full of the blessings of the Lord as ever my very soul could hold. Oh, how blessedly did the words come again, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Oh, what a precious night I had in blessing, praising, thanking, and adoring my covenant God for his loving kindness and tender mercies and so wonderfully going before me. Here was the first day, £35 for the begging case, with nothing but blessings and smiles from the givers. Oh, how good it is to see the goodness of the Lord passing before us in the way in answer to prayer. It appears that Solomon had proved the sweetness of it. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in season, how good it is. And how sweet it was to David, I love the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. But oh, the ignorance of thousands of poor empty professors of religion respecting God's answer to prayer. Their joy is in their fine prayers, but the joy of the child of God is in proving God as his prayer-hearing and prayer-answering Jehovah. It is poor comfort to a child of God when he has to cry and shout, but the heavens appear as brass, and he exclaims, God has shut out my prayer. It is miserable work for him to try to take comfort from family prayers and public prayers, whereby thousands of professors are wrapped up in comfort and peace, such as it is, because they are so diligent and do their duty in being constant in family prayer. And I think many of them never get any further than family prayer, and they obtain what they want and what they love and admire, that is, to be seen of men and have the approbation of men, and thus have their reward. But the poor child of God, though he cannot neglect calling his family together to prayer without guilt upon his conscience, yet his joy and comfort are not in the form. Oh, what miserable work it is sometimes, when his heart is as hard as the nether millstone, and he hardly knows how to bring out one word. Oh, the times that he is condemned in his conscience, with the dreadful feelings that he has. How many times has that text cut through my very soul, when I have arisen from my knees? This people draweth near me with their mouths, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, I have many times trembled from head to foot for fear lest I should prove at last to be one that was deceived myself and who have been deceiving others. But the Lord knows how to bring his children to pray from the heart for the mercies and blessings which he has promised. He brings them to see and feel their need of them and strips them from all the other refuges, and so that there is neither eye to pity them nor human arm to help them. Fools, because of their iniquities and their transgressions, are afflicted, and their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord. Yes, poor dear souls, they do from the heart, and bless the Lord in his own time he hears and answers them. And he saveth them out of their distresses. Yea, he bringeth them through fire and through water. And he says, they shall call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. It is this that brings joy, peace, and confidence that the Lord is ours, and that we are his. Oh, what a sweet night I had in viewing the goodness of God in all the way he had led me thus far in the wilderness. And I felt firmly satisfied that the Lord was with me, and that it was his good pleasure that I was to beg, and that every shilling that I was to have was all fixed and settled by his eternal purpose. Oh, how sweet it is to be content with God's will. I found it blessed work day after day, to see how the Lord went before me and opened the door into the heart, and I have ever found that that has been the way into the pocket. He told his dear disciples that if any man said unto him, why loose ye the colt, they were to tell him that the master had need of him. Oh, how sweet and precious were these words to my soul, in a particular strait that we were in, as a family, some time before I began to preach. We were quite fast at the shop where we dealt with for provisions, and we could have no more without carrying them a pound. I begged my wife to go to the master that I worked for and ask him if he would be so kind as to lend us £1. But her answer was, "You know he has given it out to all his workmen, and that he will not lend them any more money." I told her that he was in the hands of God, and that the Lord could touch his heart, and that he could not deny her if it were of God that he should do it. So at last she went, for every other way seemed blocked up, and I retired to my bedroom to wrestle with God, and a wrestling time I had indeed. Oh, what freedom I had with the Lord in pleading his precious promises, and entreating him to go with her, to go before her, and while on my poor knees, supplicating his blessed majesty, he spoke these words, "If any man say unto you, why loose ye the colt? Tell him the master hath need of him." Oh, I saw in a moment that the Lord was his master, and that he must do as God commanded him, and oh, how my soul went out before God. Do, Lord, put it into his heart. Suffer him not to deny her. Let him not speak one word against it. And the Lord answered me with such sweetness, "It is done as thou hast requested," that my soul was as satisfied as if I had the pound note in my hand. Yea, and I thanked and blessed him for it before I received it into my hands, for I was confident that she would have it, and so it was. By and by my wife returned and brought the money, and she was quite surprised to see how pleasant the master was, for he had never opened his mouth with one unpleasant word. Ah, the master hath need of it. How sweet it is to sit still and see the salvation of our God. The angel of the Lord did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. And blessed looking on it is when we can see the Lord passing on before us in the way. And so I found it when I was in London with my begging case. For door after door was opened that quite astonished me. And what was wonderful to me, not one cross word nor black look did I meet with from any one person that I went to in London. It was evident to my soul that the Lord went before me and opened the door, and there was always plenty of room when the Lord is there. I kept on traveling and preaching till my body was quite worn down with fatigue, so that I was obliged to give it up and go home, and I believe I just got the money that was needful. Thus I proved his word truth. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. I arrived home very poorly and weak in body, but strong and happy in my soul, in beholding the kindness and tender mercies of a covenant God, so blessedly going before me. And there was joy and gladness amongst the brethren, when they heard how the Lord had opened the way before me. Poor things! They had been wrestling hard at the throne of grace, that the dear Lord would open the door for me, and what joy it was to them to hear that the Lord had answered their cry. Bless his dear name. He never will give the spirit of prayer and then deny the blessing. It is sure to come in his own time and way. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. They shall call upon me, and I will hear them. I will say, "It is my people," and they shall say, "The Lord is my God." Very few professors know God in this way, and for how can they enter into these things, when these things have never entered into them? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.